Today, the dark side of two women in Las Vegas allegedly stole and stored cash and Rolexes in their genitals. Officer urges judge not to answer or not to lower Alex Murdaugh's $7 million bond because says he swindled him out of $100K. And a former Oklahoma police officer gets a 25-year sentence for killing daughter's boyfriend. Those stories and more today on The Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of.
And indeed it is. Please press subscribe wherever you download podcasts on this show. You don't miss any episodes then, or follow it. If you like the show, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com, and search Dark Side of. We go to darksidepod.com. Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on in your world today?
Well, we're both drinking tea. So either we're under the weather or we are 82 years old.
Yeah. And someday it'll be both. Won't that be fun? Like, remember we talked about
get drinking off tea? My lawn. I'm recording a podcast.
Oh, nobody listens to podcasts anymore, Grandpa.
Fuck off.
Yeah, then gunshots.
I'm great, and really excited to find out more about those ladies hiding the watches in their nether regions.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting place, I guess.
Excuse me, Linda, could you tell me what time it is?
1 second.
Why are you putting your arms in your pants?
Hey, they choose to do that. We don't judge. If that's how they choose to live their life and store their watches there, that's their choice. It's completely up to them. So we don't.
Officer, I had an itch. He was wondering what it's 4:15.
I actually have an interview I'm doing later today that is true crime related and spooky related, and I'm going to end up airing it probably on all three of the shows. And I'm really excited about it. It is an interview let's back up to preface what it's about. Amityville Horror, Ronnie DeFeo. Ronnie DeFeo is the guy who went through and killed his family in the Amityville house. Ronnie died about a year ago. He died about a year ago. And then after that is when the Lutzes moved in, and then you have the Amityville Horror. But before the Amityville Horror was a thing, when it was just the murder case, you have Ronnie DeFeo who claimed and then took it back that demons made him do that horrible thing to his family. On the show coming up here in a couple weeks, I'm going to be doing an interview with a man who was friends with him and imprisoned with him for several years. And we're going to hear some interesting insights into what Ronnie had to say off camera, you know, just basically to buddies about the case, and maybe crack open another can of insanity on the Amityville Horror case.
Wait, so who are you interviewing?
I'm interviewing one of his good friends who was in prison with him before he died.
Was in prison.
He's out now.
So are you interviewing? Okay, you're not interviewing this person.
No, he's out. He's
in prison.
He's a family member of one of our listeners, and our listener reached out to me and said, "Hey, I know how interested you are in this. I have my cousin who was incarcerated with him for quite some time. He knows him. He was friends with him. Would you be interested?" And my answer was, yeah, like, I would love to hear that side of the story. So,
wow.
Yeah, it should be. It's all hearsay. Ronnie's dead. But it's interesting, you know, to hear this guy is not making any money on the interview. He has no reason to make shit up. So, I mean, and I trust my friend who's a listener. We've been in contact for many years. So, I mean, just to be an interesting perspective, you can take it for what it's worth. But to hear, you know, really what he was standing on, or what he was saying off camera for all those years behind bars.
That's exciting. I mean, I don't know if it tops the watch genital ladies, but
it is. I'm excited about it. I mean, it's just going to be no one's done this. So this is going to be kind of a first perspective on that situation. I'm excited about it. And it'll be airing, like I said, I'm going to air it over here on Dark Side of, I'll be airing it on the Grave Talks and Real Ghost Stories Online as well. Cause it all ties in. It's a true crime story. It's a ghost story. It's everything. So it fits really in all three shows. So we'll have a little special about that soon, but it should be interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of like wondering like what questions I want to ask. I'm thinking about it. And cause I don't want to dig into, you know, our guests, you know, history and stuff, you know, too much. That's his private thing. I want to hear more about what was the interactions and all that. So
did Ronnie go with Colgate Crest, Aquafresh?
Yeah.
Maybe a non-brand?
We're going to ask a lot of really mundane questions. Like,
did he brush his teeth?
What type of ramen did he like? Was it the beef or the chicken?
Chicken or beef?
Yeah. Or was it shrimp for the extra quarter? I don't know. But should be an interesting one. So stay tuned for that. Let's go to our first story here. Two women in Las Vegas allegedly stole and stored cash and Rolexes in their genitals. Two women allegedly hid cash and a Rolex watch they stole inside their genitals earlier in the month. According to KVVU-TV, Nikki Grandel and Stacy Johnson met the victim on the Caesars Palace casino floor, went up to his hotel room on Sunday, January 2nd. KLAS-TV reports the victim had $6,500 in cash inside a duffel bag along with a Rolex in his room. The victim reportedly took a bath, leaving Grandel and Johnson alone. When the victim came out, the items were allegedly missing. According to a report obtained by KVVU, the police performed a body search of Johnson and found the money bulging in her pants. Johnson had reportedly, I love the name Johnson too. Johnson had reportedly put the money in her vagina, but it fell out. KVVU reports that Grandel denied the allegations that she took anything from the room. But as she was being booked into the Clark County Detention Center, officers found a Rolex watch inside her vagina via an X-ray report. Grandel and Johnson were each charged with grand larceny. They were released on bail and are scheduled to appear in court on February 1. So I'm guessing they were kind of acting hookerish. Went up to this guy's room. He's like, let me take a bath before we get into this. And then they took their shit.
You'd like to think that they could have just, you know, put it under their arms and then left the room. A little bit curious of why they went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's in the bathroom and you're going to disappear, why are you needing to? I mean, you could just put it in your purse and walk. Why? Right. Why is this a hide it in your genitals? Is it to not be seen on camera? But your purse. Put it in your purse.
I mean, put it in your pants. Put it in your pocket. But
yeah. I mean, one of them could like hide it behind her eyelashes because they're so fucking big.
You put it in their, I mean, depending upon her hair, probably bury a few birds up there, maybe a Rolex or two, but to go right to the, and now this is something that obviously many of the stories I would like to point out, many of the stories we've never found ourselves in positions where we can speak from experience. Oh, well, last time I killed a guy. This, of course, would be another situation where maybe, and we're not judging here, Tony, you've gone up to a hotel room with somebody that you've met at the hotel bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you've wanted to caress her.
Uh-huh.
But, and of course, she maybe wanted to take a bath prior to your Super Mario Brother playing. But, really, we don't have the ability to know if a Rolex would or would not fit in our vagina.
That's true.
Because, for the record, Your Honor, I do not have a vagina.
That's true.
So it's a situation where you'd like to think, why don't you just pop it under the arm, put it in your purse, put it up in the hairdo. I don't know. I've not ever had long hair personally. Maybe some fellas who have the man bun could say, yeah, I'd throw it up there opposed to, you know,
and they both have really long hair. I'm going to guess that there's been a lot of prison visits with these ladies, and maybe they're used to smuggling things in that area.
And so rather than popping it up there on Thursday, when I go drop it in the correctional facility, I'll, you know, time management.
Thinking maybe they just kind of thought, I've done it before. Why not? It's an option. Like for the rest of us, it's like, why would you do that? But for them, it's like, it's just another transport area. It's another pocket.
Sure.
It's like cargo pants, but it's your body.
Okay. True story. Speaking of cargo shorts.
Uh-huh.
If you had the choice, you can only pick one. Moving forward, you have to A, wear cargo shorts in public, or B, put a watch up your vagina.
Why does cargo shorts in public hold like a negative connotation? Am I like missing something?
Oh, I'm not insinuating negative connotation.
Okay, okay, okay.
I just in a fashion faux pas.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. Of course you pick cargo shorts.
Socks with sandals.
Yep.
You know. But cargo shorts can be viewed as I would not judge you if you stuck something in your body. I'm going to judge the fuck out of you for wearing cargo shorts in public.
Yeah. I want to ask this question because I'm not obviously, beauty is a big thing. It has been for quite some time. It will continue to be. But there's an interesting thing going on. God, I sound like I'm 80 years old and I'm in my 30s.
Drinking tea.
And while we're drinking tea. Yeah. But there's like this unnatural beauty thing going on where people are almost starting to look like cartoons. And what I'm speaking of is the eyelashes that are literally several inches long, or at least an inch. Like I get if you have long eyelashes, pretty. I get some of the, you know, the fake eyelashes that look real or maybe a little bit bigger than normal. Okay. Okay. But the ones on this girl here in this mugshot, it's like I said, you could hide shit behind them. What is this thing where people are almost looking like cartoon characters? And I know it's another weird thing, too, because not saying I ever have, but if I did go to a website that maybe has people doing it on it. there are, you know, things where it pops up as, categories. And one of them is like cartoon sex.
It pops up. All right.
What the fuck is that? Who and why are people getting off to fucking cartoons? And then why are people in real life taking on some of the characteristics of these cartoons? I know anime kind of has that weird sexual thing to it, which I've never really understood. But what the fuck is it? Is it because there's this generation of that are now adults that were once kids that in those kind of formative years of, you know, getting into puberty and stuff, the cartoons were so sexualized that now they're like, that's kind of their thing?
I mean, if you're trying to pick a connection of Lucky Charms and the Animaniacs to masturbating, for me, it's a hard no. But I think, quite honestly, in a situation like that, if you, two things to dissect here. Number one, why there are certain categories of adult film. I'd like to think if you're in a certain mood, you can really make anything sexual. I mean, anything sexual.
I don't know that I could get off to like Muppet baby porn. That to me just sounds insane.
You just got an oil change on your Corolla? Ooh, 5W30 or 10 to, oh, good. Did you get your windshield wipers replaced? Stop it. Don't you say, oh, and you got vacuumed. So you can go down that rabbit hole similar to if you're on YouTube and you go to look of how to fix your countertop. And next thing you know, you're 4 hours in watching something else.
Yeah.
As far as how people are looking more cartoon-like in real life, I think they are just getting addicted to. I was this obviously happens anywhere, but I happened to be home for Christmas, went past a mall and on the marquee. There was a picture of a girl and like a snowflake, and it said, get holiday ready. And then below that, in big, large letters, Botox.
Oh.
Like, yeah. Wait a minute. And the girl looked like literally her whole forehead was cement. Did not move. Did not. So.
Holiday ready.
It's a situation where, so I'm going to have poison shot into my face so it doesn't move to apparently look better to impress people that I never see. Borderline annoyed.
Yeah.
Really like. For Christmas. And then you have people with, I think the eyelash thing specifically is if you don't have long eyelashes and you have been yearning for longer length on your eyelashes, well, hell, why get something totally reasonable and blends in? Get like 4 yard long eyelashes.
Yeah, it's just
because you've been wanting your whole life to have them.
It just like seems like such an extreme. But I guess, you know, you walk around today. I mean, eyelashes are one thing. I mean, what people 20, 30 years ago, what people wear in public, you would have looked at like, oh, my God, are they OK? Now it's like walk through Walmart and, you know, 4 out of 10 people, you're like, I would have been like, I think they need some help. But today it's just like, nope, they just that it's their thing, whatever it may be.
As we know, there can be somebody in a suit and tie getting into a Mercedes with a briefcase and very trendy sunglasses. And guess what? They need some help.
Oh, sure.
So the whole oh, look like need some help look is more often than not, I would like to think the more you look like you don't particularly give an F in
I
what
think
you
that's
wear,
what it's more
you
like.
Need less help opposed to the all done up Botox, long eyelashes. Look at me. I'm looking the part. Because guess what? Everything inside of me is falling apart and nobody loves me. So, hey, guess what? I'll make sure that I look amazing so I can fake it until I hopefully make it.
Yeah, I guess it's just weird when someone like goes to the extreme of looking almost like a cartoon character. Like, what are you faking? I don't know. It's just it's
you're also
interesting
you're
time. Also,
and the same person who we're wondering what she's trying to fake has put a, a watch inside of her.
You got the 8-inch eyelashes and a Rolex in your vagina. There's nothing
now,
wrong
I
there.
I totally understand the sense of why you chose to, you know, conceal a watch in your vagina. But those eyelashes, a bit long.
I don't know that's faking until you make it. I think there may be some issues going on here if you're shoving $6,700 in your vagina and a Rolex.
Sounds like a solid Wednesday to me.
Yeah. Like, no, that might mean a red flag. An officer urges a judge not to lower Alex Murdaugh's $7 million bond, says he swindled him out of $100,000. Oh, the fun of Alex Murdaugh just continues. He treated me very nice, and he stole every dime I had, Lieutenant Thomas Moore told a South Carolina judge at Monday's contentious bond hearing for the disgraced lawyer. When South Carolina Highway Patrol officer Thomas Moore was injured in the line of duty in 2018, he turned to prominent low country attorney Alex Murdaugh for help. Instead of helping him, Murdaugh took $100,000 of Moore's compensation for his injuries, a grand jury indictment alleges. He treated me very nice, and he stole every dime I had, Lieutenant Moore told Judge Allison Renee Lee Monday at a virtual bond hearing for Murdaugh. The Island Packet, WRDW and WCIV report. Moore was among several people who spoke at the hearing held after Murdaugh's attorneys filed a motion last Tuesday asking the court to lower their client's $7 million bond. The motion claimed Murdaugh has less than $10,000 in his bank account, doesn't have enough money to pay a phone bill. The judge has taken the request under advisement, the Island Packet reports. On December 13th, Judge Lee set the $7 million bond for 48 counts of financial misconduct and other crimes Murdaugh faces, one of the largest in South Carolina history, with no option to pay a 10% release fee. Suspended for practicing law, Murdaugh, 53, has been charged in 12 indictments for stealing $6.2 million from his former law firm, former clients, and other court documents state. The once wealthy heir to the South Carolina legal dynasty has been held in the Columbia jail since October 16th after being arrested and charged with a host of financial and other crimes. He's also facing a slew of civil suits in the millions. This is also the guy whose wife and son died mysteriously, and then he's the one who tried to have a hitman allegedly kill him, but the hitman kind of missed, and he survived. So, yeah, there's just a lot with this guy. It's like when you think you've heard it all. There's also the maid, where the maid died by falling down the stairs, and then he collected the insurance money, allegedly, and none of it went to the family. This guy, it's one thing after another. I just think it's going to keep rolling, because I'm guessing this guy, for many, 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 many years, was doing shady shit and just kind of got away with it.
Is there a certain level of, I don't even know what to call it, that the judge takes a look and then has all of these extenuating circumstances and says, you know, we're not even going to go through this.
I wish.
You are guilty. Because yes and yes and yes and yes and yes. But these other 14 things, I apologize. We're just going to save 6 to 8 weeks. You're going to go to jail. Everybody, thank you for your time. Dismissed.
I think that would, I mean, the judge would consider everything on a bench trial. That could happen. So if you waive your right to a jury trial and it's just a bench trial and the judge is the jury, he would look at everything. But I think it'd be much quicker to just go, all this shit, I'm deciding right now. Here's the fucking deal. So I guess in theory, kind of, there's kind of a way of doing that, but that's not something that would happen during a jury trial.
Now, what is unfortunate is the one in a million wrongly convicted or wrongly accused that just has an insane run of bad luck.
Yeah.
Which, guess that's just even more bad luck, where the judge takes all of these crazy coincidences as you being guilty and you're not afforded the opportunity to prove your innocence.
Well, that's kind of what the argument was with Robert Durst, who just died the other week.
Now, we're not talking about the lead singer of Limp Bizkit.
No, we're not talking about Fred Durst.
Fred Durst.
That's later in the year. Okay. Yeah, no, Robert Durst was the heir to millions of dollars. And then, his argument, because he had several wives and girlfriends die over the course of his life, in mysterious circumstances. And then they started putting pieces together and realizing, wait a second. And it was always like, I have the worst luck in the world. And he was finally getting tried for murder and he was likely going to be found guilty. And it all came down actually to, there was a documentary on it called The Jinx on HBO, which I highly recommend watching. It's a very good doc. And it was a very interesting, almost compelling. After you watch it, you almost, if you're just kind of watching it objectively without knowing much of the case, you may walk away at the almost end of the movie going, maybe he's got a point. Maybe this guy just really, you know, had really horrible luck, because he seemed fairly convincing the way he would talk. And then he goes to use the bathroom and he has a hot mic. The lapel is still on. He doesn't turn it off. And the documentary producers are still rolling tape. And he's in the bathroom going, fuck, they, like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something to the effect of like, fuck, they almost got me. Or like, of course I'm guilty. It was something like where he's just basically talking to himself, but is admitting his guilt to himself in the bathroom stall. And it's all on tape. And that's what got him back into the hot seat in court.
So a documentary that he agreed to be filmed is what ultimately got him back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Good thing to remember, though. You got a mic on and you walk away. Make sure it's off. I obviously haven't killed anyone, so I know when to admit killing. But when I was doing a TV show once, it was like, you know, because you sit there and you're in front of the camera for fucking hours. And then it's like, okay, bathroom break. And you don't want to take the fucking mic off because you're going to sit back down in like 2 minutes and keep going at it. So you just leave the mic on and you go to the bathroom. And I remember being in the bathroom and having a conversation with somebody in there. and then I go back, and it wasn't anything bad. It was just kind of, it was just silly. There's nothing like incriminating, or I wasn't talking bad about anybody on the crew or anything like that. But I was fairly new to doing anything like that at the time. And I got back to the studio where we're filming, and they're like, just, you know, a heads up, your mic was hot. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Like, I didn't say anything bad. They're like, no, you didn't. But you just want to, you know, just in case. I'm like, okay. And then from then on, I remembered, flip the damn thing off, you know, before you go. At least I tried. There were some times I got back there and went, I know I didn't remember. And there was one time I went number two. So I know that was mic'd up. So there's somewhere on somebody's, you know, cutting room floor, there's some lovely sound effects.
Speaking of restroom breaks, if you are preparing to go number two and you are fairly certain that the entire restroom is yours.
Uh-huh.
And we're not talking about a family restroom, which raise your hand if you've been at an airport and you've had a go very bad and you don't have a family, but you've used the family restroom because you wanted that extra layer of security that nobody was going to come in mid.
Yeah.
Go.
Yep.
I've done it. That's not the the most awkward part, choosing to go into the family restroom when you clearly are not a family. Coming out of the family restroom.
When there's a family waiting.
With a family, a mom, a daughter, dad giving you the look of, the hell, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Anyways.
Yeah.
When you're preparing to go and you're on final approach.
Yeah.
You are ready to land the bird. And you hear the door open of the restroom. Do you?
Yeah.
Hey, we are, wheels are already down. We've already almost welcomed people to Cleveland. We are going. Or do you pull up? Do you clench? Wait for the person to do their business, quick wash their hands, they leave, and then? Or do you just, what do you do?
You mean, do you go into the bathroom?
No. You are playing the part in this hypothetical of the person in the stall,
okay,
seated,
yeah,
the flight is in mid-flight.
Yeah, okay.
You are getting ready to go number two, and this is after a weekend of great food and drink consumption. This is after maybe a late night of,
I think you gotta
Mexican
go
consumption.
If you're at an opportunity and it's safe
and
to go,
at the last
go.
Moment. Somebody pops in the bathroom.
Yeah.
With enough time to press the e-brake to pause on your VCR.
I think if you have enough time and you can hold it till they leave, cool. But if you have no choice and you got to get out of that bathroom,
you just go.
You just go. Okay. You got to get it done.
Now, can you then judge the passerby of laughter?
No. I don't know that, like I said, people would laugh. I've been in situations like that where I'm the passerby and you kind of just like, you know, roll your eyes to yourself. It's kind of rude
if
to
there
like.
There are accompanying groans or breaths of release.
I got a good story.
Of relief.
Since we're sharing bathroom stories here on the program today. So here's one, and I'm not going to be graphic or gross. So.
We'll talk about dead people.
Yeah.
We'll talk about guys, you know,
yeah,
suffocating children and yeah, killing them. But we're not going to talk about poop.
So here's the deal. I was in a grocery store once. Used the bathroom. This bathroom's toilet. We've all been in a situation where the toilet doesn't flush well, no matter what you put in that thing. You could do.
Doesn't flush well or doesn't flush?
Just doesn't flush well. Like very low flow. So whatever you put in there is not going down that drain. And really, I mean, it needs to be fixed. You go number two, you flush, not all of it goes away. And you wait a minute, like, I'll flush again, you know, flush again. Still, there's like enough there and it's like, all right, fuck it. I give up. Like, I got shit to do. And if you can't have a functioning toilet, that's really not my fault. So get out of the stall. And I realize it's kind of gross. And I hate leaving that sort of a situation like that. Not ever my intent. But if it's beyond my control, it's beyond my fucking control. leave the bathroom stall. And as I'm walking out, there's a
somebody came in to use
it. There's somebody waiting to use it. I didn't hear them. Didn't realize it. They go in there. And I hear, Oh, gross. And I'm just like, I'm not even washing my hands. I'm just getting the fuck out of there. So I get into the grocery store, get my cart, keep going.
You see them.
They start fucking following me through the grocery store and like going past me and whispering, "You're fucking disgusting." Down one aisle. I'm in the checkout. There's like a couple of people in front of me and I'm waiting. And then I see the fucking jackass come by me again. Like, how do you live with yourself? Like, literally whispering these things to me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, number one, who the fuck does that? Like, number two, it's like, you know, number one, it's the toilet.
Wait. Who the fuck takes a crap and doesn't flush it?
No, who the fuck follows people around and says that sort of shit? Because number one, they're like considering nothing. They're not considering maybe the toilet has something wrong with it. Number two, maybe the person has a medical condition. I don't. But I mean, that could be something too. But it's like, dude, like, why are you stalking someone around a grocery store harassing them?
Did you tell them?
No, I just pretended I didn't hear them. Because I'm like, what am I going to fucking do? Like in the middle of Whole Foods go, dude, the fucking toilet doesn't work. Go try and flush it yourself.
Yes.
I was embarrassed and I just, because number one, it's a situation you don't ever prepare yourself for mentally. Now, I prepare myself for like 50 different scenarios because of my anxiety. That's not one of them that has ever like played out in my head where I could go, here's how I would handle this. I was like in one of those situations of, I have no idea how to handle this. Other than I know like, I did not intentionally do anything bad here. I can't control that the toilet doesn't work.
This is why this is a good combination.
Oh my God.
You have all of the zombie apocalypse and death go-to responses. I have the go-to, what do you want me to do, man? The toilet's broke.
Looking back, I would have, you know, but it, again, it's one of those in those moments things.
You are correct. I am disgusting, but not in the regard of not taking care of that.
Normally, it's, you know, if you're in the bathroom, man. I take the toilet paper, I'm wiping seats, I'm wiping. I mean, if there's ever anything, I mean, normally I'm wiping the whole place out before I even sit down just for my own sanity.
Have you ever hovered?
Yes. Especially at like shady gas stations in the middle of fucking nowhere. And those are always interesting too, because it's like, you know, you're the only gas station for like 70 miles. You have one bathroom. You have one job basically here. You know, just kind of keep it, you know, somewhat tidy, somewhat clean. You can't have a lot of business in here. It can't be that difficult. We're not like a fucking Love's truck stop in Dallas. And those are fucking spotless.
Love is lovely.
Yeah, they're spotless. Lovely. They have a lot to keep up with. You have one. And you can't even manage that. It looks like it hasn't been cleaned in like 20 years. Why? So anyway, that was that was an adventure.
Is this where we collectively pause to go take a number two?
No, this is where we go to the next story. A former Oklahoma police officer gets a 25-year sentence for killing daughter's boyfriend. Okay, let's see what the story is here before we make our judgment. Because as a father of a daughter, there's scenarios. There's scenarios where that could play out.
Is this story about you?
There's stories where that logically does make sense. A former Tulsa police officer who used department records to run a background search on his daughter's new boyfriend and then sought out and shot him dead was sentenced to 25 years in jail for the 2014 murder. Okay, 25 years in jail. This is not life, so I'm wondering what are the circumstances here? Shannon Kepler, who served 24 years in the city's police force, also ordered to pay the cost of a grave marker for his victim, 19-year-old Jeremy Lake. Kelper and his wife were having a difficult time with their adopted daughter, Lisa, and responded by leaving her at a homeless shelter shortly after she turned 18 with no money, cell phone, credit cards, or clothes other than what she wore, according to a statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Oklahoma. Days later, Kepler was alarmed when he logged into his daughter's Facebook account and discovered she had changed her status to being in a relationship with Lake, whose family said he was a volunteer at the shelter, according to the U.S. Attorney's statement. While still on the job, Kepler then asked a records clerk to use police databases to gather information on Lake and printed out police reports about him. The day of the crime, the U.S. Attorney's Office statement said Kepler changed into dark clothing, used his wife's SUV, and traveled after dark to Lake's last known address, carrying a loaded .357 Magnum revolver that he knew would leave no shell casings at the scene. Approaching Lake's address at about 9 p.m., Kepler saw his daughter and Lake walking together and was rebuffed when he tried to speak with her, and she kept walking towards the home. As Lake stood in the street, Kepler pulled his revolver and shot Lake twice. Lake died almost immediately, U.S. Attorney Clint Johnson said in a statement announcing the sentence. Afterward, Kepler fired towards his daughter, the victim's brother, and a third witness to the killing. The judge previously dismissed a separate assault charge for firing at Lake's brother. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Kepler then fled the scene, testifying that he knew his fellow Tulsa police officers would be hunting for him, his vehicle, and his weapon. He abandoned the SUV at the former Motel 6 just off the Broken Arrow Expressway and eventually turned himself in approximately 14 hours after the shooting. His former attorney brought a still-loaded murder weapon into the Tulsa police station in a Ziploc bag. When testifying, Kepler claimed that although no gun was ever found at the scene, he shot Lake in self-defense after Lake got the jump on him, pushing a shiny semi-automatic pistol from his pants pocket, the office said. Well, Kepler's attorney argued that the gun found in the Tulsa Police Department several days later could have been taken from the scene. Expert and forensic evidence proved that the two incidents were unrelated. Kepler was found guilty last April, sentenced to Friday, for using a firearm in the commission of a second-degree murder. It was a fifth trial on charges in the case. The first three resulted in hung juries. A fourth resulted in conviction for manslaughter that was overturned on a technicality, reports Tulsa World. Lake's father, who spoke at the sentencing, and other family members who submitted letters to the court emphasized Jeremy never had the chance to grow into the man he had hoped to become for his unborn child, reported the U.S. Attorney's Office. They explained that prior to his death, Jeremy found a steady residence and intended to go to welding school. He also spoke about the selflessness and willingness to help others, as evidenced by his volunteer work at the homeless shelter. Johnson's statement said Kepler at the time was sworn to uphold the law, but instead made a series of decisions that led to a young man's murder. Today, a 25-year sentence provides a measure of justice to Mr. Lake's family, though I know their healing continues. That story from People. So I'm guessing, why is this only a 25-year sentence? Because it sounds like he really kind of fucking was out to kill the guy.
Yeah, I didn't hear any negative that would give the opportunity to shoot the person.
No, I mean, you drop off.
He logged into his daughter's Facebook account, noticed she was in a relationship, went there, killed him.
Yeah, and if you're the one who, if you care so much about her well-being, and you're dropping her off at a homeless shelter with absolutely nothing the day before, why the fuck do you care if she's in a relationship? You essentially at that point gave up all care. And I mean, there's one thing about, you know, letting someone kind of hit rock bottom or whatever to kind of pull themselves up. I understand that sometimes, but this just seems a little different than that.
Oh, that part too, where you pretty much dropped your adopted or stepdaughter off.
I mean,
the day before.
You can let someone hit rock bottom, but then you're there for them to help them up. It doesn't mean like abandoning them underneath a bridge.
So, yeah, curious why this isn't a life sentence.
So, unless they're just looking at it going, he'll be dead in 25 years anyhow. I don't know. I mean, the fact that this thing was hung several times, I don't see why it was hung several times.
I'm at an equal loss of why this doesn't move forward.
But, well, my guess is he'll be there for quite some time and likely probably never get out. There you go. All the, what can happen. You know, it's an interesting thing. When someone, on something like social media, if you're like the creator of social media, if you're the Mark Zuckerberg or whoever the hell it was, at the creation of something like Facebook or MySpace or whatever, and you're deciding, what do I want to have on this website? What do I want to offer people to have statuses, and what do we want to display? And one of them's like, relationship status. Oh yeah, let's put that up there. Do you envision at that moment in time that, you know, once this becomes something that many people use, that just that little thing, whatever someone puts there, many people, okay, totally cool. No one's, it's just a piece of information. To others, it'll be the catalyst for murder. And I can imagine there's probably been several, if not many, murders that have occurred by someone logging in and seeing that status and going, what the fuck, that asshole or that bitch or whatever. And then insanity ensues, all because we have a little badge on our shit, if you so choose, that says the relationship status. You know, it's just kind of like one of those, you set it up into play, but I guess it's the same as saying, you know, you make knives for a living, you make guns, you make cars, you make anything that could potentially kill people, going, yeah, some people are probably gonna die because we've made this. You know, it's not necessarily the fault of that relationship status that this thing happened, but it, you're creating something that will be the catalyst for some deaths.
Well, if you wanted to feel great about yourself and what you made, the freedom and flexibility for anyone and everyone to display the positivity of them having a new boyfriend or girlfriend, congratulations on not feeling like a piece of crap.
Yeah. What my favorite is when people like post really cryptic messages on social media about like their relationship or their life. And it's just like, just fucking say what the fuck you're going to say, or don't say it publicly. You know, we don't need a stream of thought. Some things you just need to work out in your mind with yourself and not have every fucking Jack, Jill, and Jerry going, oh, I totally feel you. Oh my gosh, I'm here for you. Like, heart, you know, crying emoji. What, like, you know, I'm not talking about like memes. I'm talking about like when people really type their own personal shit at and just throw it all out there. And you can usually kind of connect the dots as to who it's directed at. And you're like, why? Why are we doing this? But, you know, such is life. What would you rather see more of? And I know you're not a huge fan of any of it. But let's say, you know, you had to use it for whatever reason. Like I have to with work. Would you rather see more of those type of posts? Or more crazy fucking videos and memes of shit you're just shaking your head going, what the fuck did I just watch?
Watches and vaginas.
Like the actual close-up shot, or just like the shot of the person reaching in fully clothed and pulling out a Rolex?
So basically, it'd be a classic whodunit. The picture is the actual face of the watch.
Okay.
So all you can see is the watch.
Okay.
All you can see is the watch.
Okay.
And then basically on the gram... IG.
Uh-huh.
Instagram. It's basically, obviously, you're aware when you're looking at pictures and there's multiple pictures, so you can scroll, right? In a post.
Yeah.
On the gram. Mm-hmm. So the first picture is the close-up picture of the watch.
Okay.
The crystal, the face. Like the part where there's the 12, 1, 2, 3. The clock face, right?
Yeah, the face of the watch.
Of the watch, right. That's all you see. And then the next three pictures, there can be two, there can be four. If it just wants to be more of a fact post opposed to like a question, it could be one. The first picture of the watch is the watch itself. Pretty simple.
Okay.
The next multiple pictures, you have to guess what person that watch is in.
Oh, my God.
And now, again, it doesn't always have to be like a game, like, let me suck you in, clickbait.
Yeah.
Who could it be?
Yeah.
Which, of course, on each person, there's 92 hashtags, and it's obviously to pimp their new mouthwash that they're partnering with, you know, whoever, whatever. But if it just wants to be a, hey, Cincinnati Police Department findings, Thursday, December 14th, watch found inside this person.
Yeah.
So then that would just be a two photo post. One would be the, again, you have to do the protocol in this posting of a classic whodunit. Watch face, very close. then you swipe in that person. And it can be a, you know, it can be a very lovely picture of this person. Glamour shots. It could be a, from a photographer. I'm not talking about like post removal. Just a really nice picture of them.
It's just a name that who has the watch in there.
Oh. Naming rights right now are we're spitballing a few, so nothing to voice here today. But to answer your question of what I want to see more of on social media, that would be my answer.
There you go, a whodunit, a true whodunit on social media.
Literally whodunit.
Yeah,
like, you know, you got to put it up there.
There was years ago when I was doing a food blog. We would put something up on Facebook, and it was just like a super close up shot of food, and it was like, name that food. It was just like a way to interact with people when it was more, when Facebook was more innocent and fun. And, one day, one of the shots we used, and I didn't really, I would do these things in bulk. I would just, you know, food, zoom in, save, food, zoom in, save, and just go, and make a whole bunch of them. Not really analyzing them in great detail. One of them I posted was a close-up of a crab leg. Like, super close-up.
Vagina.
Yes, is what it looked like. Oh, my God. And I didn't even think of it until, like, someone's like, oh, my God, what are you posting? And then I'm looking, oh, shit.
What food is this?
That really does not, that does not look like a crab leg. But it looks like a, yeah.
Everybody, name that food.
Yeah, it's like, okay, oh my God, I was so embarrassed. But I'm just like if you've understood the process, it makes sense how that could happen. But it was just
Tony,
like,
I didn't know you renamed your food blog Facebook post Name That Vagina.
Here's recipes, and here's a random close-up of a crab leg that looks like a vagina. Yep. That was like 15 some years ago now.
Did you ever have comment like, you know, mac and cheese, noodle, Vivian?
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was good times.
I missed those times.
That's how the game worked. So anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side of. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts or follow us. And be sure to check out our Patreon page, patreon.com. Search The Dark Side of. We're going to darksidepod.com. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, advanced episodes. All of it's commercial free, by the way. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of.